Welcome to Foster's Consumer Electronics Show Interviews. The Las Vegas event, or CES, is the second largest gathering of people in attendance at any exhibit in the USA. This year, the attendance exceeded 140,000 industry leaders. They meet each year in Las Vegas to learn about the newest electronic technologies and to build new business relationships. It is a show featuring more than 2,700 exhibits. CES is organized to permit the manufacturer to show off their latest consumer electronic items to current and likely retail dealers. The large number of dealers in attendance is the key to the success of CES. This interview series covers primarily industry leaders involved in high-performance audio and HDTV. However, CES is a showplace for 9 key consumer technology markets. For example, watches, gaming, home networking, and more. All the interviews are recorded at CES 2008 between the dates of Monday, January 7th, and Thursday, January 10th. My name is Alvin Foster. Welcome to our interviews at CES 2008 with industry leaders in audio and video. My name is Alvin Foster. I am the founder of the Boston Audio Society. We are the largest and the longest live audio society in the United States. My name is Alvin Foster, and this is another edition of Foster at CES. And my guest with me is Alan Langford and Tom Lussain. Alan is from DEQX. Alan, would you first introduce yourself? Describe your company.
Yeah, hi. Look, my name's Alan from DEX in Australia. We're a digital equalizer and active crossover manufacturer, also just entering the linear amplifier market with some new products. Our processes are mainly aimed at being able to remove the passive crossover from a loudspeaker, which is potentially probably the largest number one error in every loudspeaker available, by replacing that with digital DSP processing, providing linear phase, active, high slope, up to 300 dB per octave crossover points.
Whoa, sounds interesting. And our other guest is Tom Lussain. Tom, would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, I'm a contributing technical editor for Sound Division magazine. I do all of their loudspeaker measurements and also occasionally subjective reviews. And Sound Division, of course, is the latest version of Stereo Review. And I've been working with them since 1988. I also have I'm also a contributing technical editor for Pro Audio Review, where I specialize in measuring Pro Audio studio monitor loudspeakers. I also have another business called Listening Technology, where I do third-party listening evaluations, primarily for OEM auto sound systems, but for anybody that's got a product they want measured on a third-party basis, I'm more than happy to do that too.
I got to know Tom through his car measurements. To my knowledge, he has measured lots of car systems from the major auto manufacturers out of Detroit.
Well, basically, starting in 1988, I did all aftermarket loudspeaker evaluations for Car Stereo Review. And, of course, that magazine stopped publication in 2006. But I did several hundred loudspeaker evaluations aftermarket. Beginning in 1999, I worked as an associate for a company called DLC Design as a trained listener listening to OEM auto sound systems. Of course, I still continue that that work under my own name today.
Okay, but the Dumax, that was Dave Clark.
Yes.
Is that still being produced?
No, Dave no longer produces Dumax machines. He basically, measurement of loudspeakers on a on an expert basis. You know, Dave sort of invented that. But over the last few years, Wolfgang Klippel's system has sort of taken the helm in that aspect of loudspeaker management.
Okay, well, one reason we're at the booth, in fact, this is room 1512, the DEQX, at Alexis Park, Consumer Electronics Show 2008. One of the reasons we are here is because Alan Langford has started to show us the new processor from DEQX, and he's going to run us very quickly through an easy setup measurement. Would you continue, Tom? Alan?
Yeah, sure. Effectively, with the new processor and the latest version of our software 2.5a, it allows us to take a measurement of a bi-wire, bi-amplified plus subwoofer or three-way configuration. Basically, what we do is we set a microphone up at approximately 3 feet.
You recommend that you do it yourself or the dealer or that?
We'd recommend that a dealer would do it. Or any competent audiophile should be more than capable of following the general instructions and creating a logical speaker measurement. This can be applied to a speaker with their crossovers still involved using a single amplifier and using the DEX's FIR filters to actually try and correct for some of the time and phase errors.
Can you use the word DEX's? I'm assuming you mean DEQX.
DEX, yeah. DEQX okay. Spelled as in like a tape deck. So DEX is, okay. Is yeah.
Like a tape deck.
Yeah, like a tape, like exactly like a tape like a tape deck.
Okay.
Yep. So.
That's just the Australian pronunciation.
More than
versus the U.S. pronunciation.
Yeah. Okay. So should we actually just run through a quick?
Please do.
Okay.
Now, if I'm understanding you correctly, the DEQX corrects for phase, frequency response, and timing, or is frequency response, or is phase and timing the same thing?
And group, yes, and it actually does the time in group delay.
What is the price of the new product?
New product is $5,500 US.
Okay.
At this point in time. It doesn't actually replace the current product, the PDC 2.6 and 2.6P. It's an addition to those products. Basically, it's trying to get greater transparency out of what we were currently producing under the 2.6.
Okay.
So the 2.6P still has a US retail of about $4,100.
Okay. Thank okay. Because that's the one I own.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, there might be some upgrades in the not too distant future for any current owners.
Now, what are you doing now, and what are we looking at?
Okay,
for our audio audience,
we've just opened the DEX CAL software. On the display at the moment, we're seeing the I/O page. So we have our input level, and then on the just to the right of that, there's six level meters, which are showing our output levels for your bass channels, your mid channels, and your two tweeter channels.
This requires an external PC?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And it's connected USB to the actual PDC itself. All the actual measurement calculations are done on your local PDC that are actually just retrieved from the box itself. So basically what we now do is we would hook a microphone up, preferably a calibrated one such as an Earthworks DM30. We'd then place the microphone approximately about 3 feet, a meter, in front of the speaker.
3 feet, in other words, not at the listening chair, but approximately 3 feet in front of each speaker or between the two speakers?
No, in front of each speaker.
I see.
Because what we're actually going to do here is now take a speaker measurement. So we're actually going to take a measurement of the drivers individually so that we're able to create a correction file for the time and phase errors of the drivers themselves.
Okay.
Okay. Then later in the process, we'd then do a room measurement where we'd then place the microphone at the listening position. But at this point, we're just dealing with correcting the error of the actual loudspeaker.
Tom, did you say something?
Well, I guess my question is, if you're going to take measurements of each driver individually, does that mean that you have to have a access to each driver individually in your system? Or, I mean, for example, if you had a passive loudspeaker system with passive components already doing the crossover functions, how would that work?
Well, effectively, you just you do a single amplifier sweep of the entire speaker.
Okay.
So again, you've got the microphone positioned at approximately 3 feet, a meter from.
Okay.
And you would normally try, if it was a three-way speaker, you try and balance the microphone so that it's sort of fairly equal distance between the tweeter and the mid-range driver.
Okay.
In a two-way bookshelf, yeah. We always try to recommend not directly on axis, but maybe 10 or 15 degrees off axis tends to give you the best measurement.
Because that represents what you're likely to hear seated at your triangle 60 degrees from...
Yeah, and it also helps with a little bit of the baffle step.
The baffle what?
A baffle step. So with every driver, it radiates across its actual baffle, and then you've got the step response that comes off the back of the...
Yeah.
As it's folding around. And if you measure slightly off axis, it actually negates some of that frequency that you actually hear in the
You're talking about diffraction.
Diffraction, yeah. Exactly. So it for our pseudo-anechoic measurement, it tends to give us a slightly cleaner, slightly more accurate representation.
Well, Alan Langford, how long does it take to do a measurement? When we walked in, you were in the concluding a previous measurement, and that took you about at least 10, 15 minutes, what we saw.
No, that was because we were just balancing up, because we're using different types of power amps. See, in most scenarios, people would tend to use two similar amplifiers with similar gains. What we're doing here is we introduced a new amplifier into the system with very different gain setting, and what we had to do was try and find the actual matched gain for that particular amplifier.
Well, how did you control the output of the or the gain of the second amplifier?
That's done in the DEX's I/O manager, because we're running a fully active system here.
So the DEQX also has levels for each amplifier?
Each individual channel has its own individual level control,
which is set automatically.
That is, well, when you do the speaker correction, it's set automatically there. But you then have manual control over each driver Ooh. Itself, mm-hmm. from left or right.
Hi, good. Mm-hmm. How are you?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm actually in the middle of the Alvin Foster doing so.
Effectively,
okay.
Having such great control over each individual channel means that if you've got slight amplifier imbalances, one channel might be hot or cold by half a dB. You have control over that. Sometimes to room effect.
What about one speaker sounding different than the other speaker? Does it control for that also? Correct for that?
Well, in the actual speaker measurement process, you're measuring left and right speaker individually, and it will correct for the differences between the two. So you actually end up creating two correction filters, one for your left speaker, one for your right speaker.
Totally independent.
Independent. But with modern loudspeaker manufacturing processes, it's very rare that there's very much difference between one loudspeaker to the next. Manufacturing tolerance is now quite good, so measuring one speaker, usually the other speaker will be fairly similar.
Okay.
In its response.
How many loudspeakers can you do in a system?
Well, in each, you create a configuration file. You can have as many configurations as you like, as long as the type of loudspeaker remains the same. So if it's a triamp, so a three-way, you can have multiple speakers as long as they're configured as a three-way. You can have bi-amped, and you can have as many as you like.
I was asking a different question. For example, many home theater systems have seven channels.
Yes.
So can I do seven different loudspeaker systems?
Absolutely. It just means you'd have to purchase three DEX units.
Okay, that was the question.
So So it's you need three processors.
Okay.
Because the processors are two in, six out.
Okay.
In all cases. Yep. So we actually are just working on a new box at the moment, which will actually have three DEX units. Boards inside one processor designed for home cinema. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that pretty much concludes Alan Langford, the DEQX. What will be the number on the newest model? Are we on this?
Well, it's all changed. It's now HDP3.
Say that again?
HD.
H. Is that the same as H?
H for high.
For high.
D for definition.
Okay.
P for processor. 3.
Okay. And I notice the color has changed, or is this just...
They're available in black and silver.
Oh, they're available in both.
Yep.
Now, you're showing a different loudspeaker here than usually you show it with the two-way system from... what was that?
Okay, no, that was 3 years ago. That was NHT.
NHT.
Yeah.
And that was NHT what?
The XD.
XD
system.
Is that still being made?
Yes, that's still being made. There's quite a number in the field so far.
Yeah, there is. Quite popular. Got a lot of reviews.
Yeah. So there's that system, and the other system, of course, is the one we have here today, which is the Wasatch Acoustics product.
Wasatch, is that a U.S. brand?
That's a U.S. brand out of Utah.
Okay, well, let's do some listening, and thank you, Alan Langford, very much.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Tom Desane.
Welcome.